What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast, episode 113. And this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps the podcast. And, you know, it just gives us a little kickback so we can keep on doing this every week. Although, last week we did miss our podcast, and that's because Derek was, where were you, Derek?
I was in Wisconsin. I think I was in more hillbilly area than where I'm normally from.
Oh, really?
It was like the middle of nowhere, yeah.
It looked like a pretty...
I was in Madison. It was nice in Madison, but yeah, out where I was racing my bike at, it was like the country.
It looked like a really cool event from everything that you posted.
It was sick. It's probably one of the best bike things I've ever gone
What was it called?
It was a World Cup. It was Trek Cup in Waterloo, Wisconsin. So
nice. I was wondering where it was at.
Yeah, yeah. So kind of the middle of Wisconsin, basically.
Nice. That is very cool. It looked cool. It was definitely worth missing the podcast, I feel.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's a blast. Well, yeah. So Derek's like super into bike racing. So that was like his thing. So yeah. No, it looked really, really cool. And it seemed like you got to meet a lot of like
world pros. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's like real sick. Cool. Nice.
Now you and your like hardcore.
We saw that. We made fun of you a little bit for it, but that's what you got to do. If that's your thing, that's what you do. You know
Dude,
what I mean?
Yeah. I knew what I was. I knew who I was. No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you and your wife both raced, or did you just race?
No, I just race.
Okay.
She's coming. Cool. I try to get her into it, but it's not. She's a runner, so it's not
gotcha.
Anything.
Gotcha. All right. Well, it's good to have you back. We missed you last week. Of course, there was no podcast. So.
Right.
But let's jump into reviews. And this week has been, well, this whole past 2 or 3 weeks has been really awesome, and it's a lot to do with CPUs, specifically Intel CPUs. And I had the chance to review two of the highest core count Intel processors, what would you call them?
High-end desktop
processors, but consumer-based processors. These aren't Xeons or anything like that, because we do have higher core count Xeons out there, but these are the highest core count consumer-based products ever made. And this is a giant leap. This is, I would never think, at least until 2020 maybe, that we would see an 18-core processor from Intel. It's just not.
Yeah, were they at 10 or 12 before for their highest part?
At least for the consumer-based, I believe we were at, I'm trying to think, what's the 6900K? Is that the last high-end desktop? That is, let's see here, I believe that was the and that was 8-core, so it's 8-core 16-thread, right?
I thought they had a higher core count than that.
In the last generation, I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't believe so.
Could be wrong.
Because the big thing with this, the original high-end desktop launch this time, the 7900X was supposed to be the top end flagship original processor originally. When the leaked roadmaps originally came out, that was the highest core
pre-Zen.
Yeah. And then obviously Ryzen processors came out, and they showed you, especially when it came to multi-threaded things, that the higher core count obviously made a great difference. And then we not only had Ryzen, but then we had Threadripper, which was which was up there, 16 cores, you know, so ton of multi-core awesomeness, basically.
Yeah.
So on the, you know, when the Core X series launched, we again, the 7900X, which we reviewed, was the top dog, and it did really well. It did very, very well. You know, Intel knew Threadripper was coming. It did come out, and it beat the 7900X at pretty much everything, because 10 cores more compared to 16.
More cores.
Yeah. So on Intel's roadmap, they had this Phantom 7980XE, which is 18 cores. And they're here now. The higher core parts are here. We have the 7980XE and the 7960. X, and these are, you know, 18 core and 16 core respectively, and these are just some badass parts. You know, they're expensive. This is the XE is a $2,000 part, You know, people say that's crazy, but if you think about it, if you're doing content creation, if you're doing game creation, the amount of time that you're spending rendering and things like that, time is money.
Yeah.
And this is obviously going to extremely increase your productivity when it comes to those tasks. This is a multi-threaded part. This is not a gaming part. This is not something I'm going to throw in, you know, to play PUBG or... Even to play PUBG, you shouldn't be in the Clorox series anyways. But,
yeah.
But you know, this is not that part. The 16-core...
This is a little render farm all to itself.
Yeah, so this is... And we've come to that point where there are... Even myself creating videos for Think Computers, I'm working with 4K video. I want faster encoding. I want faster processing, multi-threaded processing. And to have a part like this, which is an investment for a lot of people... but will save them time in the long run, it does justify the investment, I think.
Yeah.
It's
not
know.
Too far out there either when you look at it from a cost analysis point. It's a lot of money, but it's in the business scheme, it's not.
Yeah, so this is, you know, this, again, this is like a pro, like a, I wouldn't say pro-pro, but this is a semi-pro part.
Prosumer.
Yeah, like a prosumer part, and it carries that price tag, and I think, again, the price tag is justified. So, just really quick, we'll go over the XE first. So, the 7980 XE is 18 core, 36 thread, base clock of 2.6 gigahertz, boost up to 4.2 gigahertz, and then the new Turbo Boost Max Technology 3.0, it will boost up to 4.4 on two cores.
Shoot.
Yeah,
pretty quick.
And all of the higher X parts, all the i9s have fully unlocked the full 44 PCI Express lanes. And then these chips, the higher end i9s, they have 165 watt TDP. So you're getting up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this part is really great. And the thing that I did in my review is, yeah, this thing's going to crush everything that's out there, right? It's going to beat anything. We don't have Threadripper, so we can't test, but the reviews have been out since earlier last week, so I, you know, looking, it beats the Threadripper parts. It just does.
Yeah.
In multi-threaded testing. Now, the thing that I wanted to see is, you know, since I have I have a good amount of these Core X parts, what's the difference, right? So
yeah.
In multi-threaded testing, I took my scores from the 7900X, which is a $1,000 part, and did a little cost analysis of, you know, how much percent better is an extra $1,000, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And on average, it's about 40%. So you're getting a 40% increase for 50% of the money, you know?
Yeah.
That's on page 8 of the review if you guys want to look at that I have that kind of in there. You know, but the 40% sort of makes sense because you're not necessarily doubling the cores. You're not going from 10 to 20. You're going from 10 to 18. But again, you are doubling the price, but that is a lot of performance, going from 40% increase on a part on a 7900X, which is an amazing part, in its own right.
Yeah.
You know,
about,
so
about $25 a percent.
Yeah.
But 40% performance is, you know.
That's a big difference in coding times and rendering times and all that kind of stuff. It's really going to increase. And of course, we show that in the review. You guys can look at all the graphs and see how this thing really does. You know, so that's kind of where this part comes down. It's very hard to judge this part because, again, you could say this does better at this, this does better at this. This is made for one thing. This is made for multi-threaded workloads. If you're not throwing multi-threaded workloads at this, this is not a part you should consider, really.
Yeah, which you can also see in the review when you get to the gaming test.
Yeah, the gaming test. I mean, that's just, we've seen that with these Core X series parts compared to the 7700K, which typically does better in gaming. I mean, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. That's just how, you know, because you don't need those threats.
Singular core performance is not, well, speed-wise, it's just they're not as fast.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to that, it's going to lose, but...
Yeah. And, you know, we'll talk about, like, this 7960X. That's a really interesting part. And the reason I say it's interesting is that doing the cost analysis, again, for that part, led me to the conclusion that there's only a 5% difference in multi-threaded performance compared to the XE. So there's a $300 price difference for 5% performance. If you're spending that much money anyways, a lot of people say, I want the $2,000 part. I want the big dog. You know what I mean? But it is, again, you know, it's kind of what you want to spend, really. But 5% difference is pretty interesting compared, you know, at a $300 price difference. So,
yeah, that's a lot more expensive than the $1,000 makeup.
Yeah. So, you know, but it was
$60 a percent.
Yeah. So the thing that was interesting, it was one, it was really cool to test these parts out. I mean, these are parts that not a lot of people get, and it was really awesome checking them out and just throwing these workloads at these and see what you could do. I mean, running these encoding tests that take like 4 minutes normally, you know, go down to like a minute and a half is just like insane.
And that's there's your example of what this part is for.
Yeah, I mean that's what this is. But we did some overclocking, and there's a lot of interesting things with this. The biggest thing is that since the X299 platform came out, there have been issues with VRM cooling and VRM heat issues. It's been there. If you're overclocking a CoreX chip, even a 7900X, there are issues where some motherboards don't have appropriate cooling for the VRMs because they heat up a lot when it comes to these higher core chips. You know, and
the greater power output.
Yeah, greater power output. The CPU needs more power when you're running all cores at a certain speed. You know, again, while this says it boosts up to a certain amount, that's only two cores going that high. You're not running all 16 or 18 or even 10 cores that high. You know what I mean?
But when you start rendering or running video through over and over again, as fast as the thing can go, you're gonna that should create a huge power demand.
Oh yeah. And that's what we noticed when we were overclocking. So we were able to overclock both chips right around 4.4 gigahertz. That was kind of our thermal limit with our cooling setup, which was a Kraken X52. That's just like kind of – that's a 240 millimeter AIO. You know?
It's a good cooler.
Yeah, it's a very good cooler.
With this amount of heat – well, what was your power draw?
A lot. it depended on what we were doing, but I mean if we're running a stability test, like, you know, 400-500 watts just for the chip.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes this
a lot of power.
The thing that you have to consider too is that certain motherboards only have one 8-pin EPS connector. And if you're running 500 watts through that's not very safe.
No.
500 watts through a single 8-pin connector is not necessarily that safe.
Interesting that we're kind of seeing a reason for these really high-end motherboards now. We've not necessarily seen that in the past.
Yeah, so, you know, you have to make sure if you plan to overclock,
yeah,
you have a board. I would suggest a board that has at least two 8-pin connectors. That's just smart. And that the board, go online, read reviews, and see if it has any of these stability issues. Because you will run into stability issues if you overclock and throw a lot of stuff at it. You're just going to have those problems.
Yeah. I would say that you need to carefully consider just running this part, what board you're using.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to just go for that entry-level board with this part.
No, I would not. And a lot of... I know Asus did it. I know MSI did it as well. They released boards last week that are made for the XE chip specifically.
Okay.
That have better VRM cooling and other things, you know.
Probably higher quality VRM as well.
Yeah. So that's something that you're going to want to have to, you have to consider these
Seriously
things.
Seriously consider, yeah.
It's like, you know,
it's like putting a Ferrari motor in like a Pinto.
Yeah, exactly.
The rest of the car is going to fall apart.
Yeah. I did say again, these are the top dog chips right now. They beat Threadripper.
Cost to performance versus Threadripper. I haven't looked at it, but
yeah, I haven't looked at it either.
$2,000 that's about as much money as you can spend on a chip.
Yeah, I forget how much the top end Threadripper part is.
Real quick.
Yeah.
So, going back to your power draw and just power draw in general, and then just that thermal output, what, as far as cooling is concerned, what I would think that you'd need to go up to at least a 360 rad if you're going to try to overclock on these 24/7.
Yeah, like Definitely.
Probably 480 would probably be 360. If you're gonna run anything else in the system with it.
Yeah, 360 rad, and you definitely want some type of, like, you know, they make those, like, fan. You want some fan over your VRM. I mean, that, like,
yeah.
At you least just have, do
good case airflow on top of your
wire. Yeah, or get like a monoblock if you're gonna do a
do they do a monoblock for any of those parts?
Yes, they do. Okay. I believe the Asus X299s have a monoblock from EK, and I know some other ones do as well.
Yeah, that'd be ideal with like a 480 rad.
Yeah, but I think if you are considering this part and you know what you're getting into, I would think you would be a informed consumer and know about this and know, okay, this is what I'm building this rendering machine or whatever it may be.
Yeah, you would think, but
if you're running this at stock speed, you're not really going to run into that issue. You're just not, you know what I mean? It's gonna be warm, you know. But if you have, like, even the X52 did fine under normal circumstances, you know what I mean? A Noctua would do fine on this, you know what I mean?
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not two of the D15s. That's a beast, and that performs better than a lot of AIOs. So
your uninformed guy isn't gonna probably buy a Noctua though. He's gonna buy like a $15 Cooler Master.
And he would be melting that thing, you know. But yeah. So at the end of the day, these two parts are for specific use, and I think that anybody who is considering this part, one, can justify the cost, and two, we would hope would be taking advantage of what they're made for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, certainly. And I think a big takeaway too is from your testing is don't buy this part for your gaming machine, no matter how much EPN it gives you. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I think if anything, if you want to get in the X series and you're doing gaming, 7900X or the i7, which is the, all these new names are just make me go crazy. The i7, which is the 7820X. And that the only issue with that one is that you only get 28 PCI Express lanes. But again, if you're doing single GPU, don't. And you're not doing a lot of M.2 and other stuff.
You can run dual GPU on that tube.
Yeah.
So long as you're... Yeah, it really comes down to consideration with what other parts you're running these days.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is what we took a look at this week. Obviously, we'll talk about at the end of the podcast what we have coming next week, which is also very interesting. It was a lot of fun testing these, and a learning process with the overclocking and things like that. So it's awesome to take a look at this. This is new, high end, top of the line technology. Very, very cool, I think. So
gotcha.
Yeah, and it's very nice to see not the same old thing from Intel. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so it's very, very cool to check out this part. So definitely check out both of those reviews. We have a review of the 18 core as well as the 16 core. So you can check both of those out. Very, very cool stuff. And we took a look at a case this week from a brand new reviewer. So we've added somebody new to our staff, Ryan, and he has taken a look at the Azastorm 6000W. And we know Azza as sort of like more budget friendly type of case maker, I would say. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, and also it's kind of just entry level, right?
Yeah, they're up like an entry level.
They just attract that customer. They try to put a lot of features and a lot of design into their cases, I think, to appeal to the new to PC guy.
Yes,
agreed. And then you get into it from there.
Yeah. You know, I have looked at some decent Azza cases, and they have some cool things. So this is one of their newer cases, and what they've done with this, just like every other manufacturer out there, is they've added a tempered glass side panel, which ultimately makes a case better. It just does.
Oh, yeah.
On top of that, they've loaded this case with 4 RGB fans. That's... and you get another rear fan as well, so that's a total of 5 fans that come with this case.
So bad.
But there's a caveat to that, is the case is $170.
That's not entry level.
Yeah. you know, so I think that's where this case is kind of at a little crossroads. It's because if you're looking at spending over $150 on a case, you can look at some really great options. in that price range. There's a bunch of great Corsair cases. There's a bunch of great,
high level competition there.
Yeah. I think the case looks good. This is the white version. There's a black version as well. The inclusion of the fans make this case ultimately better because who doesn't love RGB fans, right?
Right.
You know, Ryan said that installation wasn't all that bad. I would hope at least most case manufacturers have figured out the case's installation thing by now.
Yeah, we've come a long way since the early days of reviewing cases.
Yeah. The interior is pretty, it's kind of like your basic case. Like, that's what I was kind of talking about. These are like your basic type cases. There's nothing.
Not at basic pricing, though.
Yeah. Well, that's what the four RGB fans, that's the thing that's going to cost you.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You know, I think without the fans, this could be a $69 case.
Yeah, so are you really going to, do you really want to take a $69 case and spend that kind of money just for four RGB fans?
I wish they would have had that as an option, right?
Or something like that. No, I don't think anybody would buy it.
I mean, $69, well, okay, tempered glass side panel.
I don't think anybody is going to buy a $69 case and then spend $100 on fans to put into it.
I mean, RGB fans, I mean, that's how much it costs right now.
I know. You know what I mean? I'm just saying that I don't think they're going to do it. And so then that makes me question whether this case has a market.
At its current price, I don't think.
Yeah.
And then here's one of the reasons I don't think, and this is one of the downfalls I think of this case, is that these fans, which I have a three pack of these fans, they come with a USB controller, much like the NZXT ones and everything like that. That controller is not included with this fan. So these fans, you have the ability to cycle colors by pressing a button on the case.
Yeah.
And cycle effects, which are like just like flashing and pulsing and things like that. But you have no ability to really control them.
Or sync them. Well, they're probably all connected to the same controller.
Yeah, they're all connected, so they're synced. Yeah. Okay. But there's no ability to have one do one thing or one do the other. You know what I mean? That's what you get with the controller. And that controller is not included. You know what I mean? And again,
it should be.
And as you mentioned, at this price range, I don't think people are looking at this case.
Yeah. I think you're not looking at an ASIC case at all.
If I'm over 100, if I'm over 150, I'm definitely looking at tempered glass cases. I'm looking at high end cases.
You can get a lot of case for that money.
Yeah, you can get a lot of case for that amount of money. So again, I just think that if they would have done this tempered glass side panel, their normal fan option, 69, maybe 79, because the tempered glass, you know, you gotta, you know. So, I think 69, 79, and then maybe have the option when I buy to add these fans if I want to, right?
Yeah. I think that they did it this way because it's not going to sell.
Yeah.
They're just not going to sell that option.
Yeah.
And on top of that, why are you paying full retail for RGB fans?
True. That don't come with the controller.
Yeah, you should be getting them for like $10 a piece if they're coming with the case.
I agree.
So, because I mean, the cost is, you know, that's the manufacturer can absorb that. Then it's just and looking at the installed case, you're right. This is the layout. This layout and design, it totally looks like a $70-$80 case.
Yeah, and it has optical drop bays. What?
It sure does.
And I'm not sure. I didn't ask Ryan. I'm not sure if those can even be removed. Like, you know, like they're.
I'm sure there's a view of the back panel.
Yeah,
let's see here.
I'm not sure if you can take those out. Because if you can't, that's another issue that I'm not a fan of. You know?
You've also got screws in here that are unfinished. Like everything is white, and then you've got screws that are just silver.
Yeah.
That's below even like a $70 case. Most of the time, these days, your hardware is all finished in the color scheme of the case.
Yeah.
I just think that we're at a much higher standard at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I don't think this is a bad case.
Yeah.
I think that the addition of the fans put it over a price range where it's not something you want to spend that amount of money on.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
No, there's no way it's $170.
I think that, again, as we mentioned, this is a case that somebody looks at and thinks this is cool for my first PC build or whatever. And I think it's a fine case for that. It's a fine case for anybody, really. But at its price range, it's not, I don't think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, with Corsair, NZXT, Cooler Master, all these companies really raising the bar, not only in looks, but internal features and ease of build and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get a lot more for your money with a case from a brand like that.
And it's not toolless at all. It doesn't have thumb screws.
It doesn't look like it, except for on the side panel.
Yeah. Interior, so. it's all, which doesn't bother me as a modder, but I mean, that's thumb screws. That's just standard.
Yeah. So I think
they're just a little behind the times with this case.
Yeah. Yeah. If
nothing else, I think that the paint on it looks really good.
Yes.
On the steel chassis. It's got to be steel too, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So what did Ryan end up giving it?
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. That's yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, sadly, RGB fans are quite expensive. But I'm just mad that this doesn't come with a controller. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be like, Saiyans or, you know, I don't know if the Corsair ones come with the controller. I don't know if they do or not.
I don't know. I don't think that the controller is the thing that does it for me. I just don't think that you shouldn't be paying like retail for the fans.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, and then if you're saying that you're not paying retail for the fans, that means that you're paying closer to $100 or more than $100 for this case. And $100 gets you a lot of case too. NZXT has so many solid offerings in that price range.
Like $89 to $109, like sweet spot right there. There's a ton of really nice cases and cases that have tempered glass side panels.
Yeah. Is this acrylic? No, it's tempered, isn't it?
No, it's tempered glass.
At least it's that.
Who is who's Newegg's off brand?
Rosewell.
Rosewell makes a full tower with tempered glass side panel that's actually a good case for $100. So you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like we were talking about, I think last podcast, tempered glass prices are way down.
Yeah.
And so you can't necessarily justify a huge cost increase just by having tempered glass.
As the case stands, would $129 be more reasonable?
Yeah.
I think $129
maybe. Yeah. $119, I think. They're also, Aza is also competing with the fact that they're Aza.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not NZXT. They're not Corsair.
Yeah.
So you got to fight that with price.
I'm trying to see.
I do like the hex in the front.
Some I do like that as well.
Outdated, but I like that.
So, the Corsair, I don't even know which one this is. The 460X RGB, let's see here. Which has tempered glass on the front and the side. And three RGB fans. But I don't know if these fans are included. It doesn't tell me. Yeah, they have to be, right? Because it's the RGB version. I'm just looking on Amazon. I'm not looking at... I'm just trying to see if okay, so I assume this comes with three fans because this isn't all the photos of this case, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this case, the look it up, it's the Corsair Crystal Series 460X. You get tempered glass on the side panel and the front, three RGB fans, and it's $134.99 on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
That is a much higher value.
Yeah. Now, I believe the Aza case is better designed internally, for sure.
More spacious, for sure.
Yeah, just the way it looks. But
on the other hand, this is much more modern looking interior internally.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is where, again, we come into that price. So, $134 for the Corsair. So, again, $129, as you said, $119 would be a better price for this, I feel. For the Aza case.
Yeah.
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 This is a full tower. Is it a full tower?
Doesn't look like it.
Looks like mid to full.
Yeah. It's probably, not a full probably, full. It's not.
No, probably more mid.
No, it's a full tower.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Full tower. So, I mean, I guess that's part of the price.
Yeah. It doesn't say.
Because we can't really compare that Corsair to it.
Yes, but it only supports ATX too, so there's no EATX or XLATX either.
Yeah,
which is a bummer for me because if I'm buying a full tower, Yeah. I want the full size.
How does it not support EATX? If you can support
that's what's in the specs. It just says it says ATX, full ATX, and micro ATX. I don't know. So maybe that's not... just.
I wouldn't say it's truly a full tower then necessarily. You should be, yeah. And the size difference in the motherboard tray area for going to EATX is not much.
I'm sure you could mod this to do it, but yeah,
that's a pain. That's a huge pain.
And the thing is, why it might not be is because of those 5.25 inch external bays up top.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're modding, you can take those out.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that's why they might not have the official support for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. It really this case is just like a mystery to us, I feel. You know what I mean? It's just, well, like I said, 119, 129 max at the price, it would be a decent buy because you're getting the RGB fans, you're getting tempered glass, you're getting a decent design inside that can accommodate a good amount of hardware.
Yeah. I think we just have a price issue with this case.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, price issue. So, awesome first review for Ryan, and it's good to get a look at it as a case. We haven't taken a look at one in a while, so.
No.
So, yeah. So, we'll move on from that. And we didn't launch the article last week. At least I don't think we did. But we launched the article the week before, and we missed the podcast, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, I started building our ultimate RGB build. We've been talking about it on the podcast for at least a few weeks, I think. And this first article goes over everything that's inside. So, I break down the different parts and why I chose those parts and how I think those parts are going to help me with what I'm doing. And I have to say, this build's awesome. I priced it out, if I was to pay retail for these parts, $4,800.
Dang.
So very nice.
That's a nice PC you got there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's without a monitor or accessories. So, so very, very
of course,
awesome.
Of course you've got $2,000 worth of processor in there.
No, I only have the
using that one? Okay.
No, I'm not using 18 core. I'm using the i7 because the idea behind this build is while I am going to be using it for video editing, it's going to be a gaming machine as well. So because of that, I wanted I want the chip that has the higher stock speed, you
clock
know what
speeds,
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did the i7 7820X, which we talked about. Which is a great Core X series part, and I think this part is kind of the best price to performance ratio when it comes to all around performance.
Yeah,
gaming and multi-threaded.
The only downside with this one really at all is the lanes, PCI lanes.
Yeah. If this had 44, this would be an awesome part.
Yeah, that's the one to buy if it's got 44.
So it's 8 core, 12 thread, which I think would be good. If not, I can throw another chip in here. I have them here. But for the build, I think this is what I'm going with, and I'm pretty happy about it. We're doing the Aorus X299 Gaming 9, which is the most RGB'd out X299 board you can get, but it's an awesome motherboard. Has really great gaming features, has like the highest gaming grade audio that you can get in a motherboard, multiple M.2s, which I'm going to be taking advantage of. It has everything. It's a really great board. Very good on this. They did a good job on this one. So, and it has the dual 8 pins. So if I do want to overclock, I'm not pulling that all through one.
Did you really just say if and not when?
True. Very true. I agree. We're doing a 1080 Ti in there. The Aorus Extreme Edition, which we reviewed, which is an awesome, super high clocked GTX 1080. The best single GPU graphics card you could buy, basically. Without going over to like the prosumer Titan and all that.
Yeah.
And then we're doing G-Scale Triton Z RGB memory, which is awesome. I also did a review and video on that. It's, in my opinion, it's the best looking RGB memory you can buy. They do have the app now too, so you can actually control the memory, the lights on the memory to do what you want, which is sweet. Cool.
Yeah.
We're doing a 1,000-watt power supply from Corsair. It's their RM1000X. Went 1,000 watts in case I wanted to add something. If I want to add another GPU or something like that, I just want to make sure I had.
I think on an all-out build, 1,000 watts is just kind of, that's where you go.
Yeah, and we are rocking the higher-end CPU. And if I wanted to go, put the 16 or 18 core in there, I have enough juice. You know what I mean?
You can do the math all day and say, "Oh, I only need an 800 or whatever," and save yourself like $50 maybe. Or you can just go with a solid 1000 watt and be good for any GPU and CPU combination. Single GPU, I should say.
For sure. Yeah, so went with that. And then storage is where we have a lot of fun here. So we're doing the Zotac 10-year anniversary Sonics. That's a PCI Express solid-state drive, and that has RGB LEDs on it, so I had to put it in here. And then we're doing 2 Patriot Hellfire M.2 drives, and those are super NVMe fast.
Drives, yeah,
those are NVMe's. Same with the Zotac is NVMe drive.
Right.
And these are Phison E7 based. So they do get hot, but which is nice is that the motherboard has the
nice coolers. Heat spreaders, yeah.
Yeah, it has the heat spreaders built in, so I don't have to worry about that. And then just for our other storage, doing no mechanical or no old school hard drives in this. We're doing all SSDs, everything. So we have 2 Crucial MX300s, and they're basically the 1 terabyte version of these. So storage is
pair of those.
Yeah, I got a pair of those, and
you gonna raid those bad boys up?
I might, because we're doing another article on redoing stuff in the office, and we have this awesome 20 terabyte thing, which I can't tell you about right now, but
20 terabytes legit.
Yes. Yeah, so pretty pumped about that, but I think I probably will raid them, just to, that would be like the game and application drive, just so I have, you know, really fast load speeds and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But yeah, and then finally we move on to cooling and RGB stuff. So Kraken X62, it's a 280. That's the highest that are. Oh, we didn't even talk about the case. Totally didn't talk about the case.
Probably talk about the case.
Yeah. So the case is the N1805i. That's the Infinity. It has the Infinity screen on the front. We had to use this case. This is not the most cooling wise, you know, for the high end parts that we're running, but it's all tempered glass. It's aluminum, so it's not as heavy. It's the Infinity mirror is what does it.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah, it's awesome. It doesn't have the best cooling options for what we're doing, but I don't think I'll run into that much of an issue. If I do, we'll figure it out.
We'll add something, throw a fan in there.
So. Yeah. So far, it should do what it does decently well, and we can make adjustments a
little
bit.
There's just, when you're doing Ultimate RGB, there's nearly no other case you can go with, because the Infinity Mirror is the Ultimate RGB LED strip.
Yes. Yeah. So we have that, and then as I talked about, we're doing the Kraken X62, which also has the Infinity Mirror on the pump block, and
the most amazing pump block. Like, those things do everything.
Yeah, and I really, really like the CAM software. I really do.
Yep.
It's just a great piece of software. So with that, we're running all the fans in the case are being replaced by the NZXT Air RGBs.
Nice.
So those have the light ring around it, which are totally RGB. And obviously, we can control that within CAM, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So we're replacing the 140s on the Kraken, and we're adding 2 120s to the bottom, as well as a 120 rear. So we have all that covered. And we're doing RGB LED strips inside, obviously. And we're doing those with NZXT's Hue Plus, which also can be controlled within CAM.
Nice.
Which is nice. So we have that. And then finally, with all of these, you know, you have to connect the fans to the Hue Plus. You have to connect the Hue Plus or the Hue Plus to the Hue Plus, you know, the RGB strips to the Hue Plus. You have to you want front panel USB connections, you want all this stuff. We're going to run out of internal USB connectors. There's only 2 on this board. So we have the NZXT internal USB hub, which gives you 3 extra internal USB connections as well as 2 external ones. So I have a wireless headset that I'm just going to have that connect in there, and I don't have to worry about it.
Oh, that's fine.
So this is a great, like, if you're doing anything with RGB fans, RGB LED strips, something, you know, this internal USB hub, it's like $22 on Amazon. I just bought it, and it solves your problems, because you're going to run out of we have to connect the Kraken via internal USB as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
You have to do all that stuff. So this solves that problem for us.
I talked about that in reviews of NZXT parts, in that you do, with the way their parts are designed, using the USB headers quite heavily, you'd run out.
Yeah, in this build, because the build's completed, it's sitting next to me, but it's for next week. Right. But I have all of the USB headers in use. All the ones in the internal USB header as well as the ones in the motherboard are in use for this build. So yeah. Yep.
you just need some connections, that's all.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the build, guys. It's awesome. Again, it's completed. It's gonna look badass. We're next week I'll be launching the video for it, which is kind of the crown jewel of this.
Yeah,
it looks awesome. I'm really excited about it, and I'm just excited to have a new computer that like wasn't made from extra parts, which my last one was. It was just like, this is one that I thought out. I knew what I wanted. I knew the idea we were going through. Yeah, because like again, we do get to check out all of these awesome parts, but I rarely get to use them. Like they're used for benchmarking. Like I don't game on them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's nice to actually use these parts on a daily. I would say.
Of course.
You know what I mean? For things. So, pretty excited about all that. So that is coming next week. So right. That was that. And then obviously we have Case Mod Friday.
Yeah.
And this is really not a mod. It's not a mod that much, but it's in a case that I love, and in a case that just does not get enough attention. It's EVGA's DG87. This case has been around for a while. It's a massive case. Like, it's huge.
Yeah. It's really expensive, too.
Yeah. The door system on it is awesome. It has this big door that comes open. It's like it's a case for, like, a workstation. It's what it really is. It's really sweet. It has this on the front of it. We're not even talking about the mod, I'm talking about the case in general. On the front, it actually has a display that will show you the temperature inside the case. Like, that's just cool to me. But this is just a build, more or less a build inside it. There's a couple small little mods, but this is like a build inside with like almost all EVGA parts.
Yeah, owed to EVGA.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, all you have two 1080s in there. They're the EVGA FTW2s. You know, you have EVGA X99 FTWK motherboard, which is a great board. EVGA Supernova 1000 watt power supply in there. You know, it's just a nice nice overall build.
It looks good. Really good for what it is.
Yeah, looks good. Uses the EVGA AIO, which we haven't taken a look at. I'd really like to see, you know, get you one of those and see how they perform.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
You know, that's a really cool looking AIO as well. I think
it is. Yeah.
You know, so
does that power supply come pre-sleeved, or did they actually?
You have to buy the sleeve. You can actually, so Corsair, EVGA, who else makes power supplies? Corsair, I think Corsair and EVGA are the ones you can buy extensions like this. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, MCXT sells extensions like that too.
Yeah, yeah. So
actually, so I should say a lot of people sell extensions like that.
Yeah,
but I didn't. Those are the actual manufacturers that sell those, huh?
Yeah, well, you can buy, like, I assume third-party ones, too, that are made for those, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yep.
But, yeah, so it's just a cool build. The reason I wanted to feature it is because I really like this case, and sadly, we don't see enough builds in it. It's just, I don't know why, really.
It looks good as is, almost.
Yeah, there's really not a lot of modding that, like, needs to be done. I mean, there obviously can be.
Yeah.
But it's just a cool, it's a like, massive case.
This is
case
easy enough just for this builder to just throw it all in this case. It's just,
oh, yeah.
Just matching all the parts gives a nice theme to it.
Yep. It's just it's something, like I said, it's something I'd like to have sitting on my desk, and it would look really, and it just looks good.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is like, I think this is the first build that I see using that. You saw them at CES, is that ice licked LED panel from AlphaCool.
Oh, really? I didn't even know it was in there.
Yep, it is. They have the white one.
Ice Light.
Ice Light. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those looked really good, actually, because it's so smooth light.
Yeah, so this is the first build that I've seen that in there, too. So
cool.
Just cool stuff. Definitely check it out. And as I always say, we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds. A lot of stuff in there that you guys can go ahead and check out. So that brings us to news. And as we talked about with the i9, 7980XE, it pulls a lot of power. And famous overclocker, I always mess up his name. How do you say his name?
Der Bauer.
Okay. Der Bauer overclocked his i9-7980XE to 6.1 gigahertz on all 18 cores, which I feel is insanity.
All 18 cores part is the incredible thing.
Yeah. He did that under LN2, I assume.
Yeah, definitely.
And the thing that's, as we talked about, these pull a lot of power.
How much power did it pull?
1,000 watts.
So imagine getting a 1,000-watt power supply just for your CPU.
Yeah, and again, that's 1,000 watts. I forget what board he used, but I assume he's using a board that has dual 8-pin EPS connectors. But again, yeah, it's 1,000 watts going through 2 8-pins. That's just
you certainly don't do that with your GPU.
And he did delid this and everything like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So this is not something.
They delided it, and then they tried to build, or they cut out the middle of the heat spreader so that they could still use that and then attach a cooler directly to the cores, which is done, right? But then it didn't. It was like really inconsistent results. So then they went and spread just a ton of thermal paste in there.
Yeah,
which you mentioned in the article.
He's doing some really cool stuff. We have another story with him.
Yeah.
I just let in just a little bit, but that is insane. I mean, that just shows you that these are super power hungry.
Definitely. Oh, he's got a Rampage 6.
Yeah, that's like the most insane board. But again, that just shows these parts really aren't made to be overclocked.
The effort that it takes to get to do that, yeah.
But they're just really not. You know, this is a workstation part that's made to be used for multi-threaded stuff. That's it. Yeah. This is not a sort of like, you know, the 7700K enthusiast part. If I want to get some more frame rates, or if I want to, you know, get a little bit better performance, I can overclock a little bit, blah, blah, blah. This is not that part. It's not that part at all.
No, but it kind of makes it more fun in that way. It's kind of like back to the old days when it wasn't designed to be overclocked. You just did it anyways.
That's very true. So really cool stuff to see. Crazy to see 1,000 watts. I'd like freak out if I saw my CPU pulling that much.
Yeah.
So. A little controversy with the 8th gen. So that is the Core i 780 700K, all that stuff. So somebody leaked the press slides. So Intel decided to just officially announced them. They were never officially announced, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, Intel announced the mobile parts and all that about a month ago. And so this week they announced the desktop parts, and they'll be available October 5th. But all this information that was released typically doesn't come out till launch day. Official,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
But because it was leaked, they just decided to launch it. So, you know, we have the official press release, but you can go online and look up each part and find out, you know, their speeds and officials, you know, all that kind of stuff you can find out. Which we knew for a while because certain things were leaked, but somebody leaked the press slides.
Press deck.
Yeah.
That sucks for them. Somebody was probably very upset at Intel.
Yeah. Yes. So all of that.
Four days out on this, that's exciting.
Oh, I know. It's a new change for Intel, I'll say that much.
Nice.
Talking about things being leaked, details on AMD's Zen 2 architecture have been leaked. More specifically, a roadmap that shows what's going to be coming up for the Zen architecture. So that is Ryzen and Threadripper stuff.
Yeah.
So it looks like we will have a Ryzen refresh in 2018, which is expected. So basically, you know, all said, Ryzen was sort of rushed out, and they knew where certain improvements could be made. So we'll see some improvements in 2018, but the big thing is in 2019 we'll see a new
Zen 2.
Basically Zen 2. Architecture,
new cores.
So that's kind of exciting, and this is hopefully that this will be 12 nanometer, you know, which gives you better performance, better power, better everything, you know,
getting down there.
But yeah, so one interesting thing about this is also AMD is moving away from the Ridge line, the codenaming. So Ryzen was Summit Ridge, and then 2018 we have Pinnacle Ridge, and then 2019 it's called, I believe you say it, Matassi? How do you say it?
No.
But they're going after famous painter names.
Oh, okay.
So on the APU side in 2019, it's called Picasso.
Hmm.
Yeah. But definitely more Zen things are coming, and you'll see, while you won't see the performance from that we saw from Excavator to Zen, that insane
right. leap,
you will see improvement, just like you see on Intel processors as we exactly. go. So 2018 will essentially be the talk, right? The talk. I forget how. It's only been like 2 years since we stopped doing. Yeah. So
does TikTok apply to AMD?
I mean, it hasn't.
No.
Yeah.
I think that basically, 2019 will be when we see whether this Zen thing, whether they've really adopted a Intel-like production method, right? Like, where they can actually build on their previous success and not just lose this all. I think it won't be a huge, it won't be as big a deal as Zen was, like, needing Zen to launch well, you know, and do well. But it'll be a big deal as far as, like, knowing that they're here to stay with this.
Yes. And that they will have better performance. Like,
that they can create, yeah, that they can make gains on previous designs.
Yeah. So that's the big thing. And I think that's the most important thing about this is if we see that.
In the past, all they did was try to speed up their parts or increase core count. And no, you didn't see performance differences.
Yeah. And so, they caught on fire.
And they took all of the power out of your house.
Yeah, and like they made parts that were like 5 gigahertz for no reason, you know.
Yeah, just to say they had a 5 gigahertz part.
Yeah, yeah. So,
anyways, we all know that they've had a troubled history.
Yeah. So yeah, it's cool to see this stuff. Obviously, leaks means that these things are coming, and we should see them. And it's going to be an exciting time. I think it's really exciting time for AMD. They've really shook up the processor market just a lot.
They've helped as much as they helped themselves. They helped us as a consumer and
everybody else. So, well, talking about AMD, the big thing that we talked about a few weeks ago, or maybe a little bit, is that when Threadripper launched, there was no NVMe RAID.
Right.
And they said September 25th it would be fixed, and it has been. And famous overclocker, DeBauer, as we know, he decided
he's kind of like hot right now.
Yeah, he's doing some really cool stuff. Yeah. So what he did
is he the Linus of right now?
Oh, I think he's doing stuff that I guess Linus used to do this stuff, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't watch a lot of Linus stuff, so
no, not at all anymore.
Yeah, because he was the one who did these insane things, right? But I guess he just doesn't anymore, at least not that I've seen. But so what he did is he got 8 Samsung 960 Pro NVMEs and installed them in an Asus HyperQuad M.2 expansion cards and rated them up. And what he was able to do is get fast speeds, of course, extremely fast speeds. Even if you raid 2 NVMEs, you get really fast.
Right.
But he was able to achieve 28 gigabytes a second.
Which more comparatively is 28,000 megabytes per second, which would be the number you're used to seeing.
Yeah.
So,
just imagine, you're transferring 28 gigabytes a second.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah.
You'd probably be the first one loaded into your game, I would think.
Oh yeah, I mean it would load, you know, that's just insane. So that's just awesome to see, you know, and
what kind of a proof of concept public.
Yeah, very awesome proof of concept.
Yeah,
so very cool to see that, and just see that that's just an amazing speed. I mean, I'm just getting used to NVMEs in general, you know, running these
3,000.
Yeah, and then seeing 28 is like,
whew. Did he raid all 8 of them then? Or did he do 2 raids of 4?
I'm not sure exactly how he did it, okay. Or how he raided.
Their ray was.
Yeah. But
that's pretty cool, though.
Super fast. And awesome.
28,000 raids per second. That's... If you've never rated like solid state memory for storage, you should. It's so much fun. Things go really fast.
Yes, especially when you have if you have M.2s, the NVMe drives.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Get some awesome performance in there.
Get yourself close to 6,000.
Yes. So on the GPU side, we had heard that there's possibly a GTX 1070 Ti coming out. That is going to compete with the Vega 56 at a better price point and great performance. It's going to be within 12% performance of the GTX 1080.
Oh, really?
You know. So, initial reports put it released around early November, but a new report has come out that it's said to launch October 26th, so this month. October 26th. Now, we're not sure if that's just like an announcement date, so that's when reviews will launch and all that kind of stuff, and then we'll see the card be available in early November, which would make a little bit more sense. You know, but this is just another part that NVIDIA is going to put out to really just stick the knife in the and AMD.
It's not a part that I was necessarily on board with. I was like, why? What? Hey, NVIDIA, just please release like the 11 series or whatever you're gonna call it. But like, man, now I want an 8700K and a 1070 Ti.
I think
sounds
a
sweet combination.
That is gonna be a really awesome combination. So hopefully we'll see this at the end of the month. I'm excited. Just another good part that should be priced good.
That'll be the big thing, I think.
I think the price is going to be very competitive as well, because it is going to compete with the Vega 56, which I don't... Well, right now you can't even look up normal prices. So.
It was supposed to be $400, I think.
Yeah, so something like that.
Yeah.
Tough
to say.
Yeah. So, also on the GPU side.
Do you have an article about it? We might have last week if we hadn't missed. But maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Ethereum mining also hit like a new level of difficulty, or two new levels. And the efficiency has dropped significantly.
Really?
So we might be able to buy a GPU again in the near future.
That's a good thing. I did not see that article.
Yeah.
Well, it's very good.
Yep.
Not good if you're.
Invested heavily into GPU, but
yeah, for that type of mining, for sure.
Yeah.
On the AMD side of the GPU thing,
yeah,
you know, the launch has been over a month away, or the Vega launch has been over a month since the launch. We have no custom cards available for sale. We saw the Asus card. Guru3D put the review up, and then they pulled it down, and it has yet to go back up. For whatever reason, there has been maybe one other card that was just like a different cooler put on it, but
yeah.
not like the cards that you know, right?
Yeah.
The MSI Gaming
like
X,
like Lightning, right?
Like a or like you know the like a Strix or an ROG or
right,
the
right.
Aorus Gaming. Like we haven't seen any of those. And if you're somebody, I would never buy a reference card in my life. There's just no point.
Well, unless you're doing water cooling.
Yeah, for sure. But again, you still have options. I mean, EK is making it, or like for all those cards, EK is making blocks for. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're making blocks for your ROG cards. They're making blocks for the Aorus cards. They're making for the MSI cards.
Okay.
I mean, they're making them.
Sure.
So. You know, and you get your factory overclock, you get better component, you know, you get all that stuff. So everybody's like, where are the custom Vega 64s? Like, where are they?
Yeah.
And a new report has come out that Gigabyte has no plans to make custom Vega 64 cards.
Shoot.
None. That includes their main brand and obviously Aorus based cards. So what's the deal? Like, why? And some people are saying that one, there's inconsistency in the quality of the chips that AMD has provided to AIB partners. So because there's inconsistency, these partners are having trouble with their overclocks. Like you want, obviously, if you're putting out a Strix or they're going to have a factory overclock. That's, you know, that's what they're known for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you can't have, you know, you have two exact identical cards, but you can't get them to match and perform the same, you can't put out the card out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Secondly,
that's a bit of an issue.
Yeah. They say the temperature reporting is broken. So GPU temperatures are different from the temperature that's being reported by the GPU, which can, you know, if you have a cooling system that's based on, I mean, all cooling systems are based on the temperature that's being reported by the GPU, that's a big issue. And then finally, there's three different Vega 10 GPU packages. You know, and the two main ones, there's a 40, what is, I don't even know what UM is. There's a difference in height,
like micro millimeter or something.
Yeah, there's a height difference in the GPU packages, which makes them which prevents manufacturers from a standard heatsink design to accommodate all the different GPU packages. So it's just a difficult thing, and this is another thing to add to this horrible Vega launch.
Not to mention, throw all this on top of it, but like they're not good cards. They're not going to sell.
Yeah.
So why would you invest heavily? Like those three different die packages, that's incredibly expensive for a manufacturer to create them all and stock them all and guess how many of each is going to sell. Yeah. This is just a really bad part.
Yep.
Well, those three parts.
Yeah. So, you know, this is just another thing. And I mean, that's a bummer. Like, if I'm, like, you know, like, we're building this ultimate RGB thing, and we have a lot of Auris parts in there. And, like, if I'm, you know, if I want an Auris part, and I'm a fan of, you know, I'm a fan of Gigabyte / Auris. I'm an AMD guy. I'm waiting for my Auris Extreme Edition. Now I know it's not even coming out. What?
Yeah.
Like, you know. Yeah. Because, I mean, there's people that are like that. There are people like, I only buy MSI Gaming X
parts. Definitely.
Or I only buy ROG, or I only buy Strix. You know what I mean? There's people that are like that for sure. So that's a bummer. I mean,
yep.
But you can't blame Gigabyte, I would say, for that one.
No, it's business. They can't make those parts. They're not going to sell them.
Yeah. I also wanted to throw in some news from last week that I thought was kind of important in the GPU space. One is that AMD released a new driver the week before, that enabled multi-GPU support for Vega 64 and 56. So it's Crossfire support to GPU only, which is common these days. It's not, you know. And it's showing over 80% scaling.
Which is pretty good.
That's really good.
Pretty good.
The biggest thing in the past with these Vega parts is that... or not with AMD parts in general, is that the scaling was never good. And the drivers were just so bad that if you tried to crossfire, it was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
That's
AMD's, like, lifelong story.
Yeah, so it looks like, at least in this realm, this is a positive for Vega.
Yep.
One, if you can get your hands on two cards and you want to pay the prices that they are right now.
You spend $1,600 on two cards.
Yeah. So that's a positive thing. One other cool thing in the GPU space that was announced not last week, or it was like over last weekend, was that MSI announced the most massive GTX 1080 I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They're calling it the GeForce GTX 1080 Ti Gaming X Trio. And if you know MSI Gaming X cards, the Gaming X comes with two fans. They're a dual fan card. That's what they've been for the longest time. This has three fans, and it's huge. There's a picture. We have a picture of it next to their Lightning card, which is a three fan card, and it dwarfs that card. Like, this thing is massive. I don't know the official length on it, but it's just a big ass card.
Looks the width. That's insane, though.
Yeah, and it's really weird. We don't know like how. You know. It is going to be overclocked, so 1569 base, a GPU boost up to 1683, which is pretty high.
Yeah.
It's just a big-ass card.
I would never put that in my system.
Yeah.
It's too big.
Comes out October 12th.
I mean, I guess I would try.
If you have... The thing is like... If you have the room,
space, yeah,
yeah, you got to make sure you have space for this thing. You're it's huge.
Clearance issue between the card and the case door.
Yeah, now what they could have done, which with Gigabyte does with their Oris card, is they stack the fans.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Oris card, the center fan is below the two other ones. But it's cool to see a big ass card like this. We don't see these cards anymore, like these crazy.
What are those 190 mil fans on there?
No,
yeah, I'm kidding. They're...
Yeah, that would be insane.
Yeah, they're probably 120s.
Yeah, I think they're hundreds.
You think they're hundreds?
And the center's a 90.
No, they look big.
They do look big. Maybe they could be 120s and the center's a 100.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know.
It's huge.
So they're either huge or like that's incredibly little hands that are holding it.
Yeah. It's just a big ass card, though. Yeah. Cool to see. Very cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So that is news for the week. And then, of course, next week, Intel's. 8th gen, we have two chips here. We have the Core i7-8700K and we have the Core i5-8400. So two...
Nice.
You know, and this is a big thing with Intel is that we have our first 6-core, 12-thread mainstream processor.
Only like 8 years in the making.
Yes. So that is going to be... Intel hopes this to be the standard when it comes to gaming. Just like the 7700K, we talked about it, is the standard for a mainstream gaming build. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So this gives you... You're going from a quad core to a 6-core.
Hopefully it will... hopefully game designers will adopt it quickly.
Yeah.
And design for even more threads.
Yes. The i5 is a 6-core, but again, we have no hyper-threading, so it's 6-thread.
Slightly slower clocks?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's 2.8 gigahertz boost to 4.
Probably
this,
smaller cache, too.
Yeah, the 8700K is 3.7, boost to 4.7. Nice. And I've heard you could do 5 gigahertz. This is the one, even though 7700 you could do if you knew what you're doing, but this is the one that should easily be overclocked to 5 gigahertz on air.
Good.
From what
I've heard. I think that I need one of these.
Yes,
honestly, it's, I do.
You know, and we do have a few Z370 boards here, and they're nice. It's sad going from looking at a lot of X299 boards that have everything on them, and then you're like, the
where'd all the features go?
Yeah, but these are pretty cool boards, and we have two here, and
there will be. There'll be a rampage and everything for them.
Yeah, there'll be everything for these. But this will be the new standard, and it's good to see it. It's good to see that finally somebody made Intel change their thing.
Yeah. Dude, it's incredible. Like, literally, it's been at least 5 years of talking about when is mainstream part going to be 6 cores.
Yep.
So, I'm stoked. I think this could be, like, the new 2600K, 2700K.
Yeah, that part was sick.
Yeah, the Sandy Bridge part was like a game changer for Intel, like mainstream, and I think this could be the new version of that.
Yeah, you're going to see, I mean, I'm not going to give anything away because I've tested this already, but you're going to see some definitely improvements, and not only, you're going to see single core improvement as well,
nice.
Not only multi,
nice.
So
good
stuff.
Good to hear.
Yes. So you will be taking a look at a keyboard. Tell us a little bit about it.
Cherry MX board 3.0. It's kind of an office board, if I'm being totally honest. There's not a lot of exciting things to say about it necessarily, but it is a really nice board. I've used it, been testing it for quite a while now. And so you just have to check out the review because, if you're a professional typist, this could be a board that you're interested in.
And I think that one of the things, I took a look at the MX board 6.0, which is more, I wouldn't say it's a super crazy gaming board, but it's more tuned to that. But
yeah.
But the build quality of these Cherry keyboards are so far ahead of everything else that's out there. Yeah. It just was. I mean, I still have that. I don't use it currently.
Yeah.
But it's a just
they're incredibly
the build
nice boards. There's no way around it. Yeah, I mean, build just like their switches.
Good.
It's the same thing as their switches. It's the standard, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure. So that'll be really cool. And as I said, I will be putting together their video here for the Ultimate RGB build, which will have an accompanying article as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. If you want to see this thing all lit up and its RGB awesomeness.
Yeah. How many hours do you have, Bob?
A lot.
A lot.
I don't even know. Like,
nice.
I told you I wasn't even done the other night with filming, and I had like, I had over 70 gigs of footage, that's 4K footage. So obviously that's going to be
it's pared down, of course.
Yeah. But the video should be like 5 to 10 minutes going over. And the video will go over the parts as well, because we didn't release a video of the just the parts. I didn't think that'd be exciting enough. So the build and the parts will go together in one video.
Okay.
So yeah, so it'll go over like the different things I did and how I routed cables and obviously all the parts and what it looks like lit up and all that kind of stuff. So
nice.
Really excited. This has been a build that's been in the making for like months. So I'm finally glad that it's all together and everything has worked out the way that I wanted it to. So
perfect.
Pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, yes. We've been talking about this for a while. So
yeah. So that's all coming next week. So that pretty much brings us to the end of the podcast. And we always talk about if we did anything cool. I know you had your race and that was definitely fun with you. Do you do anything else tech related?
I did some
week?
Nerd stuff, yeah.
Oh yeah, what'd you do?
Well, I watched Baby Driver.
Is that like a nerd? I mean, that wasn't like a sci-fi or like
a movie. So
yeah, it's a movie.
Movies are nerd things, I think.
I don't know. That just seemed like more of a mainstream movie to me. But it did look good. I did see the preview, so it did look good.
It's pretty sick.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. And I played a new game too.
Oh yeah, what was that?
Does that count? I played Doom. A little behind on that. But
Doom?
Yeah, like the remake.
Okay.
Like 2015? 16?
No,
I don't know.
I think
no,
about 16. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that. I've played it. Yeah. It's a good game.
Yeah.
I've been doing all this crazy building stuff, but I installed my first... Well, I got an Amazon Alexa Dot.
Uh-huh.
Thinks I'm talking to it because it's sitting here. I got that, and then I got this smart LED strip. It was like my first piece of smart home tech that I've really kind of done. And hooked it up, and it works. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome to talk and, you know, have things turn on and off and change colors and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so I have that, and I have some other smart home stuff that I've been installing. So we're going to be doing a whole article series on this, but this was the first time I've set this stuff up, and it's actually pretty easy. And, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty happy about it.
It's getting to that smart home.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff going on, obviously with this build and everything like that, but really cool stuff, and I've been nerding out a lot lately. It's kind of getting to that time of year. It gets colder, you know,
I know the feeling.
So, that brings us to the end here, guys. As I always say, we have a full list of our show notes here that has all the articles listed. So if we talk about something, you can go ahead and click through and get even more information. And we're always on your favorite podcasting software, whether it's iTunes or anything like that. Just think computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.